So we're in the series on the Beatitudes, and we're doing number four today. So it started off, and I said that to you right in the beginning, that the foundation for all of the Beatitudes starts with the first one. Blessed are those who realize their need for God. That's where it starts. In that moment where we realize that I can't do this. I can't live my life in this world alone. I can't stand on my foundation. The one I need to build on is the Lord. And the day you realize that, that's when your whole life changes. When you know, I stand and I say, Lord, they're empty. And I need you. I need you in every part of my life. And then we saw in the next two Beatitudes how that changes how we look at this world and how we start living in the world, where God changes our eyes and we see the world through God's eyes, and that brings that mourning into our own lives, where we say, my heart just breaks for this world. And how can I do something about that? And that's where we end up today. When our heart breaks for this world and we see the world through God's eyes, we ask the question, so how do I live in this world? That I change it, that I make this world a place where God can be seen in everything that I do, in all of my actions, and even in my inactions sometimes because of things that I won't do. So Jesus says in the NIV, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The New Living Translation says, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Justice. It's a very interesting word that Jesus uses, that they use in the Greek here. I wonder what the Aramaic word was that he used, but when Matthew writes this down, he uses this beautiful Greek word, dikaiosune. Dikaiosune comes from the word dikaios, which I'll talk about a little later, but dikaiosune means that which God approves. Or that which God examined and God deemed that right. So now think of that verse again. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for that which God approves. For that which God has tested and examined and said, that's right. You are so blessed when you are hungry and thirsty for that and do that. So when you think of that, it's kind of, okay, this is scary. That which God approved, which God says, I've examined this and this is right. How do I do that? So there's two kind of main theological thoughts on this. There's gazillions. Lots of people write about this, but there's these two main streams. The first stream says, this is not something that we can ever achieve. Righteousness and doing right is only something that's in the hands of God. He's the only one that can do that. The second one says, no, what Jesus is talking about here is how we live life in this world. So which one are we going to pick? Here's the thing. I don't think we have to make a choice on which one. I think they both work together. So let's unpack this together a little bit. So let's take that first one first, where it says righteousness is only something that can come from God. We can't do that. It comes from the old theological background. And remember, I said that. Let me refresh your minds. First Sunday when we spoke about the Beatitudes, I said that the underlying text that was in Jesus' mind for this, that he used later again, Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3, which speaks of the servant of the Lord that will come. And when the servant of the Lord comes, he will change everything. The blind will see, the lame will walk, the poor will hear the gospel, and those who are in jail, they will be set free. This is what they lived for, because they said, this is God's righteousness. When God changes this world. So the call for God's people has always been, come Lord Jesus, come Messiah, because Messiah will be the one that can change that. And that's true. And I'm sure that's part of the call of this beautiful verse where it says, will you come back, Lord Jesus? Because you're the only one that can really do this, that can really, really change this. Can you remember John? When John was in jail, for a moment, he wasn't sure about Jesus. And he sent his disciples and he said to Jesus, are you the one that would come, that would change this stuff? And what was Jesus' answer? Go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The lame can walk. The blind can see. The gospel is proclaimed to the poor. And freedom is proclaimed for those who are in chains. The justice, the righteousness of God came in Jesus. He is the only one that brings the words that we use in this world so often. Real justice. We'll talk about that a little later. Hold that in your hand. We love that word, but do we know what it really implies? He's the one who brings equality. He's the one who brings fairness. If you looked at him, how did he treat people? Treated them all the same. Because that's what God approves. That's what God examines, and God says, that's right. We said it last week, Micah, what does the Lord ask of you? Do justice, love mercy, and then go walk humbly with your God. So there's your first little line. Justice, righteousness is something that God gives and God can do, and we kind of struggle. But that does not take away our responsibility. Let me take you to that second little one. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness also means how I live life. How I put my convictions into actions. How I take what God has done in my life and I go live it in this world. And the Good News Bible, I think, translates it really, really beautiful. Good News says, happy are those whose greatest desire is to do, see that little word, do, what God requires. For God will satisfy them fully. Righteousness is not just a word. Righteousness is an action of how we live our lives in this world. In the way that I live towards God's people in this world. In the way that I care about God's people. And when I say God's people, I mean God's people, the whole world. My actions towards them, my words towards them, my care towards them, my love towards them, that which God approves, my actions. Brother James, forgive me for reading a lot, but the word is way cooler than me trying to say it. James writes this in James chapter 2. He says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Listen to the words deeds and do and righteousness as they come up. Righteousness is doing what God expects of me. Listen how he goes on. He says, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Was not our father Abraham, listen to the words, considered righteous, dikaios, for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, dikaiosune. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous, dikaios, for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Righteousness is living the way that God expects me to live in this world. Can I use an example that I saw this morning? We had one of our homeless friends that was hanging around under the tree outside the church this morning and had something to eat, got up and left his stuff there. Two of our folks were out there and they just checked and had a look and they saw there's still some food and little things left there. They didn't just pick it up and go dump it in the garbage. They left it because they said, we'll go check after church. Maybe he came back, just took a little walk, and he'll come back and he'll come eat his food again. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for doing what God would approve. Righteousness is living the God thing. Forgive me. If that sounds a little off, living the God thing. Like Jesus, who would look them up, those who were on the fringes and outside, and would love them with everything that was in him. Righteousness is living that which God has given me and living that into the lives of people, not just with my words, but with my care. With my being there, with my arms reaching out, with my arms holding, with my kindness and my grace and my acceptance. Maybe that's why some folks say the first stream is true. It's only God that can do that. But that's why the verse says to us, blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty. Help me, Lord, I'm hungry to do that, but I don't know how. Help me, Lord, I'm thirsty to do that, but I don't know how. Will you satisfy the hunger so that I understand it, and then I can go do it? Will you fill me and fill this thirst so that I am so full that I can go share that and just pour out the blessings of your righteousness in people's and you think of it in your own life. You go make the practical application in your own life. Where do I live and how do I live that I do to others what God would approve? What God has examined and said, that's really good. Go do that. Problem with righteousness is that it has two competitors. That is always asking our attention. And the first one is called the opposite of justice, injustice. And none of us want to do injustice, and we're all against injustice, but that's just the problem. We're often against injustice, but we don't do anything about that. We wait for someone else to go do the right thing. No, you do the right thing, says God. And we know this world in which we live, holy moly, is there a lot of injustice in a world that should know far better than that? The second competitor is even worse. When God calls us to righteousness, we will often run to self-righteousness. right? We'll say, yes, things need to change. Things are not right, and things need to happen, but I want that to happen on my terms. Maybe we can use the word self-interest. As long as it serves my interests, as long as it serves my self-centeredness, as long as it's okay for me, as long as it doesn't ask anything for me, I'm okay with it. But these are the enemies of righteousness. Or justice, because you heard it was also translated justice. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. Because living a life of righteousness, boy, will that take the self out of you? Will that take the I out of you? Because God is not about the I. God is about his people. And to be able to do that, I need to learn how to serve. So let me end. Takes us right back to the verse. You will be blessed when you realize you can't do this, but you come stand before God and say, I'm hungry, Lord, for this. I'm thirsty, Lord, for this. Fill me. Psalm 23. You didn't know my sermon, but you chose the exact right song for us to sing. This man, David, he knew about injustice because he messed up often. He knew about self-righteousness because he messed up often. He got that. But this same man is a man, I think he wrote at the end of his life, this beautiful Psalm 23, when he said, Lord's my shepherd. Because David knew about the shepherd thing all his life, right? He was shepherd to the sheep and he had to care for them. He was shepherd to the people of God and had to care for them. Who was his shepherd? David says, this is where I learned my lesson. The Lord's my shepherd. And just as I cared for those sheep, as I had to care for you and bring justice, bring the right things, that's what the Lord does. And now look at how it fits with these words. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for God's right things. The Lord's my shepherd. And I don't need a thing because he takes me to green pastures where he will take care of that hunger if only I allow him. He will take me to quiet waters where he will fill me with the water of life if only I allow him. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He takes me to quiet waters. And he leads me in the paths of his righteousness for his name's sake. Blessed are those who realize their need for God. And then go ask. I'm empty, Lord. I can't do it. But I'm hungry and I'm thirsty to do what you approve. Take me to the green pastures and the quiet waters. And then, Lord, light a fire under me and set me on the path. Righteousness, so that I can be satisfied and the world can be blessed. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you do not ask anything from us that you do not give. And Lord, if we try and live righteousness and justice on our own, we so often fail because that self thing just comes in. But in that moment where we come stand before you, and like the sheep look at the shepherd and say, Shepherd, we don't know where to eat if you don't show us. We can't find a place to drink if you don't take us. That's how we come before you. Lord, show us, feed us, fill us, so that we may live in this world for you and in your way. We ask in the amazing name of Jesus.